The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to the disciples, "Beware of practicing your piety before people in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Whenever we say or do something, there are two fundamental components that make up what we say and what we do, and that is our intention and the motivation behind what it is we are saying and what we're doing. In this gospel passage, Jesus is asking us to be quite mindful of what the motivation is behind the intention of what we are doing. He says that if the motivation behind things that we say and do is about being seen or being heard, in other words, being praised, being thanked, being lauded, whatever it might be, then it is all about us. And we're drawing attention to ourselves. So the motivation isn't necessarily good. It's not necessarily evil. But it is less than truthful. So he speaks to three specific areas in an individual's life. And what I will address on the weekend are the three temptations, in many respects, that he dealt with, and I think we do universally. But these three things is when we pray, or how we pray, or why we pray, giving alms, and fasting. He says that when we pray, it could be that we are praying to God because we want to be in greater union with God and to appreciate and understand God's will. If that's our intention, that's very good. But if I'm doing it so people can see me doing this, the motivation isn't that I have union with God. It's so people can think, "Oh, look at him, look at her. They're so holy, they're so pious, they're so wonderful, and I'm not that at all." It is just diminished the intention of the prayer. But the reward, Jesus says, is you got your reward in that moment. You got people to look at you. But was not the intention of your prayer union in God? And if it is union in God, then it will always call us to be humble and contrite of mind and heart. It is not so people will see us praying, but that we in fact become prayer itself. We become a revealing of God, who is humble and contrite. When we give alms, the whole idea behind it, I'm sure, is that we will help our neighbor, someone who needs that assistance. It's not a handout, but hopefully it is something to assist them to elevate them to a new level of where they are self-sufficient and they can regain their integrity and their self-respect. And that is a good thing. But if I let everyone know that this is what I'm doing and I have a plaque put up in my name to honor what I have done, sure, I've still helped that person, but fundamentally, I was just helping me. I have again diminished the idea of giving alms. Jesus says, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Again, this comes back to the sense and the notion of being humble and contrite of heart. I do this not because it's going to benefit me, but solely because it is for your good and your well-being. The reward is for us truly in knowing that the common good is being revealed. It is being achieved, is being brought about. The last one, fasting. Fasting, well, it has all of its health benefits, as we know. But the whole idea to fast from something isn't so I can take it up later. It is actually to address and to identify something that is of a hindrance to my good and to my well-being. Not just food. It can be thoughts, concepts, ideas, emotions that I'm holding on to for dear life, and I feed on them, and they literally make me sick. My mind becomes diseased. My body becomes diseased. My heart becomes diseased because I will not fast from these things. And it's never about taking them back up later. We let them go. That would be the reward for us. We become a healthier individual. And our relationships become healthier also. But Jesus says, if I'm fasting and I want people to see just, oh, how I am going through such a terrible time in this fasting, I am still feeding on the sickness within me. Pride. That's what it comes down to. It's pure pride. Look at me, look at me, look at me. So Jesus is challenging them to adopt a new motivation for whatever we are saying and doing. And that is to genuinely be humble and contrite of heart. Not easy. Not easy. I would like to end this homily with an example. 2 years ago, a little bit better, I, along with my second oldest brother, Ray, and my younger brother, Bernard, we went and visited our mother on her birthday. Now, Mom is in a nursing home in Peterborough, and she has had dementia, full-blown dementia, for the last 4 years. So when we came to see her, I mean, she has no idea who we are, but the moment you hold her hand, she calms right down. So we had a wonderful visit with Mom, and then after we went back to my second oldest brother's home, Ray, and we had dinner. And during the course of the dinner, we were sharing stories about Mom. My mother was a force of nature. She was strong physically, but she was also strong-willed. You could not move her if she made up her mind. I think I've adopted a few of those characteristics from her. However, she was this beautiful, beautiful person. Still is. But my brother Ray, he said to Bernard and I don't know if you know this story, but when they were in elementary school, Ray and our older brother Jerry, they were in a class where there were the students. And one of the students in each of their class was from a family of 16 children, two sets of twins in this family. The only income they had coming in was from farming. And they had about 100 acres, and it wasn't the greatest land. So these people were living really below the poverty line. Mom, this is what got me. Mom said to Jerry and to Ray, "I am going to give you a second complete lunch." She did this at least once a week. She would give them a complete second lunch, and she would say, "I want you to take this lunch and give it to the child that's in your class. But I don't want you to tell anyone that you were doing this. In fact, I want you to do it in such a way that nobody sees you doing this." They did this for years. I had no idea that Mom was doing this. At that moment, my understanding, my appreciation of my mother was transformed. We had an interesting relationship, but at that point I realized, my God, she understood this gospel passage in a way I hadn't. She put it into practice. You don't go in front of people and let them know what you're doing. You do it quietly, because she understood, you don't do something good and nice for a person so you can be patted on the back, nor do you do it to shame the other person, to humiliate them. You do it to elevate their dignity. Every last one of those children became professionals. They made a great deal of themselves. I like to think that my mom, in a very small way, and my two brothers, in a small, small way, helped them to realize that God is with them always, and with us too. So my friends, as we begin this season, joy-filled season of Lent, let us do God's will, not so that we can be seen, heard, thanked, or praised, but solely because it is good and it is God's will to be kind to the other, generous with the other, pray for the good and well-being of the other, and to let go of anything that divides us from another. We can do it. And where we begin is today, as we wear these ashes to remind us of the beauty, the brevity, and the fragility of this life. But it is a gift. Let us use it well and wisely and for the good and well-being of one another.